politics, power, and the people. From Washington, D.C., this is The Week on the Hill.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
The State of the Union address is one of the most iconic events in the nation's capital. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi surprised the White House and a lot of lawmakers by requesting that President Trump reschedule the address, citing security concerns.
We're saying, let's get a date when government is open. Let's pay the employees. Maybe he thinks it's okay not to pay people who do work. I don't. And my caucus doesn't either.
Initially, the White House had little response, but that changed on Thursday when, right before Pelosi and other lawmakers were about to leave Capitol Hill for a secret trip to Afghanistan to visit U.S. troops, the president announced that the congressional delegation wouldn't be allowed to take a military plane for the trip, citing the government shutdown. The president didn't comment on his letter to her directly, but in an address at the Pentagon, he made his displeasure with her clear.
While many Democrats in the House and Senate would like to make a deal, Speaker Pelosi will not let them negotiate. The party has been hijacked by the open borders fringe within the party.
Joining me now is WTOP's Emeritus Senior Capitol Hill Correspondent Dave McConnell. Dave, the president's order was rare, and how unique was Pelosi's request related to the State of the Union?
This development is very rare, nothing like it in my memory. Though Presidents Roosevelt and Truman canceled the State of the Union speech during World War II, and Jimmy Carter in January of 1981 as he was about to leave the White House, and Ronald Reagan after the Challenger disaster of 1986. Speaker Pelosi suggested President Trump could send a written speech to the Capitol, as presidents did till Woodrow Wilson revived the spoken address in 1913. Suggestions the speech be given in the Senate, controlled by Republicans, or outside the Capitol have been made, but no resolution of this dispute is in sight, Mitchell.
Now, beyond this political battle, there's the shutdown itself. Democrats on a daily basis banging the drum for the president to reopen the government, while Republicans are critical of Democrats for not compromising on the border wall. Missouri Republican Vicki Hartzler and Democratic Majority Leader Steny Hoyer were among many to take the House floor.
We need to end this shutdown now. Reopen the government first and discuss rationally how best to secure our borders. An objective many of us have voted to do over the years, with substantial increases in our investment in security at all of our borders.
Why are we fighting to secure our border? And it's because we care about people. There is a drug crisis in this country, and the drugs are coming across our southern border into our states.
Dave, is there any middle ground here?
Well, not so far, apparently. Republicans accuse Speaker Pelosi of not being willing to negotiate. Democrats insist the shutdown must end before talks on border security continue, and the game of legislative chicken just continues.
In past shutdowns, there seems to have been some kind of end game. What about here?
Well, like everything else in the Trump era, Mitchell, this event seems to have a life of its own. While surveys indicate President Trump and Republicans are taking more heat than Democrats, that still hasn't reached the threshold where a white flag is going up at the White House or on the GOP side of the aisle. Usually by now, one side or the other is blamed for the disruption. But the country is so polarized, that hasn't happened yet. It may take a national emergency of some kind, a walkout by air traffic controllers or TSA workers at airports, or an economic downturn to shock lawmakers and the president into action.
If it weren't for the shutdown, the confirmation hearings for the president's nominee for Attorney General, William Barr, would be getting much more attention. Dave, Democrats did have a lot of questions related to how Barr would handle the Russia probe.
That's right. Democrats remain very concerned about whether Barr will release the full transcript of the Mueller report on Russia's meddling. They charge his responses have been evasive and confusing when pressed about how much information he might give out and how. How he'd do that. Barr's view that the Mueller report is confidential and ought to be treated that way disturbs Democrats. Still, they haven't got the votes to block his nomination, and his Senate confirmation seems assured, excepting any unforeseen events, Mitchell.
During the Barr hearing, there was a moment that may have bearing on a bombshell report from BuzzFeed News, in which sources suggested President Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen was directed to lie to Congress and to claim that negotiations for a Trump Tower in Moscow ended sooner than they actually did as the 2016 presidential campaign was getting underway. Cohen reportedly told Robert Mueller's team about the order to lie. Given that story, it's interesting to listen to this exchange between Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar and William Barr.
The president persuading a person to commit perjury would be obstruction. Is that right? Yes.
Okay.
Or any person who persuades another to, yeah.
Okay. You also said that a president or any person convincing a witness to change testimony would be obstruction. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
With Mueller's report expected soon, Dave, this doesn't look good.
Well, we have to think about a couple of things first about that, Mitchell. Despite Cohen's explosive allegations on a number of issues, not just this one, he's also been accused of lying under oath to federal prosecutors. His critics just don't trust him. So we'll have to see how this new revelation plays out as House Democrats prepare to question him in an open hearing early in February.
And now moving to the case of Iowa Republican Steve King. The House has condemned the terms white nationalism and white supremacy, a rebuke of King, who in a New York Times interview questioned how they became offensive. A censure proposal has now been referred to the Ethics Committee. Dave, how likely is he to face more punishment from his colleagues, and what's the history of these kind of efforts?
A stronger rebuke or ultimately expulsion from the House appears unlikely. Tougher punishment for King could prompt House Republicans to demand equal treatment for Democrats accused of questionable behavior, like Michigan Representative Rashida Tlaib, who called President Trump an expletive-deleted word we can't use here on this station. Leading Republicans clearly want to get rid of King, who's become a political liability for them. Ironically, outside criticism, no matter how powerful or justified, sometimes has a boomerang effect, as local voters resent being told what to do by outsiders here in Washington. For instance, Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy's anti-communist witch hunts, dismaying his Senate colleagues, but Wisconsin voters seem to approve, at least for a while. But in time, McCarthy's unfounded accusations drew widespread condemnation and censure by the full Senate, rendering McCarthy politically ineffective. In the House, despite lapses involving tax evasion and expensive congressional junkets, New York Congressman Adam Clayton Powell managed to get reelected until the 1970 primary, when Harlem voters finally tired of him and chose challenger Charles Rangel to succeed him. And Ohio's Jim Traficant was expelled from the House in 2002 after his conviction for using campaign funds for personal use. But Traficant remained popular enough to get 15% of the vote as he ran for reelection from jail.
Launching a re-election campaign from behind bars. Probably not the best way to get back to Congress. For WTOP's Dave McConnell, I'm Mitchell Miller, and this has been The Week on the Hill.